I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Imagine Duck Dynasty meets apocalyptic street preacher, and you will have grasped my vision of John the Baptist. I imagine a long-haired, bearded, bedraggled, belligerent Baptist preacher hopped up on locust and honey, standing on a soapbox in the middle of the desert, yelling, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." And I wish that all of this were simply the product of my overactive imagination. But year after year, I am reminded of the fact that this guy actually existed. And in today's gospel reading, we find that long-haired, bearded, bedraggled, belligerent blowhard, John the Baptist, yelling at us once again. And you know what? I really do not like being yelled at. I imagine most of you could say the same. There's just something demoralizing about being yelled at. And you know, the funny thing is, yelling rarely accomplishes that which it sets out to accomplish. Unless, of course, the goal of yelling is to provide some form of emotional catharsis for the person doing all the yelling. In other words, yelling rarely works. Or if it does, it usually has only short-term effects. Think back to the times when you have seen it used in the workplace, or perhaps used at home, or perhaps you've used it yourself. How well did it work for you? How well did it work for others? Scholars in the field of industrial organizational psychology would categorize yelling as a hard tactic. One scholar defines hard tactics as tactics that threaten the autonomy of the target. They attempt to get someone to think or do something specific by metaphorically pushing them in that direction. These tactics include making reference to formal authority, building a coalition, and applying pressure. When we see John the Baptist in today's gospel, we see a man using hard tactics. Listen to what he says to the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him for baptism. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance." In other words, John is asking the Sadducees and Pharisees why they even bothered to show up. Thank goodness we don't say this to people when they come to us for baptism. And now he is telling them, now that you've showed up, you better get your act together if you want me to baptize you. So John the Baptist certainly was not one for ingratiating himself to folks. He was a fan of hard tactics. But as Mark Gulston and John Ullman emphasize in their book, Real Influence, hard tactics just do not work very well. Yelling at people and calling them a brood of vipers may produce conformity, but it will never produce love. Nope, it's just incredibly hard to pick up what John the Baptist is putting down when he is so busy yelling at us. He creates an emotional response in us, and we end up tuning out everything else he is saying. But what if? What if John the Baptist got a haircut, took some reflective listening courses, had some life coaching, and toned it down just a bit, and then he told us we need to repent? How would we receive his advice then? I imagine we would still have a pretty hard time, and here's why. John uses that little word, repent. In fact, he begins with it. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. And the funny thing about that little word, repent, is even if John had gotten his act together and told us to repent in a much more loving manner, we would still hear it in a loud voice. Try as we might, we would still experience that little word, repent, as if it were being yelled at us. We hear this word as an attack. Somehow it always feels adversarial. Guys, it's a bit like when a female asks you, you know, how do you like my dress? And you respond, it looks fine. And then you know what she replies, fine, what's the matter with it? Now, just for the record, that's never happened to me, but guys, you know what I'm talking about, right? The word repent is a bit like that. No matter how you say it, it's always going to be heard as a judgment, as if said in a loud voice. But this Advent, should we hear the word repent in this way? In other words, is it best heard in this way? The novelist Thornton Wilder once said, the revival in religion will be a rhetorical problem. New persuasive words for defaced or degraded ones. I think part of the reason we hear the word repent in the way that we do is because it has become defaced or degraded. We hear it with different ears. But the Greek word, the language that was originally used in the New Testament, the Greek word for repent is metanoia. Metanoia literally means to turn around. It's as if you were going in one direction and then all of a sudden you decided to turn and go the exact opposite way. That's repentance. That's metanoia. But given that the word repent has become defaced or degraded, perhaps we could better hear the meaning of the word if we replaced it with something like, I don't know, refocus. The season of Advent is a time for refocusing. Advent is a special time to take a step back from the busyness of our lives and refocus on our true and everlasting joy, a joy that only God can provide. We refocus not because we are a brood of vipers in need of being yelled at, but because we are head over heels in love. If you are a parent, think for a moment of the time when you were expecting a child, when you were preparing to welcome that child into the world, the things you do, the preparations you make, the work that must be done, the things you do, not because you just need to work hard, but purely out of love. The way a child can refocus your entire life. If you aren't a parent, simply imagine welcoming a much-loved guest into your home. Someone whom you adore and have been longing to see. A family member or a friend, perhaps. A loved one. The preparations you make, the plans you make, the way that love refocuses all your normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill plans. The way love refocuses your life. This refocusing is what Advent is all about. A loving preparation for a love about to be born into the world. A time to refocus. A time to prepare our hearts to welcome the Son of God into the world. Amen. Amen.